Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 83. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, it's a pretty good feeling right now.
Yeah, I'll say.
We're riding high. We're on top of the mountain, looking down,
yeah,
and seeing Dion Phaneuf crying in a corner.
The vast expanse of mediocrity below us.
He's spooning Dustin Brown as we speak, who almost got in a fight with Dan Boyle tonight.
Yeah, why'd they break that up so quick?
I'm kind of glad they broke that up, to be honest. I love Dan Boyle's fighting spirit. Listen, there's so much great stuff to talk about, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But I think we do have to point out, you know, the Sharks look like somebody took a leak in their Wheaties, man.
Yeah, yeah.
They seem a little irritated, but we'll get to that. This has been a pretty good week for Sharks fans.
That's right. And despite a shootout loss to Boston last Thursday, which I wrote about in the blog, basically it was a Tim Thomas show to a certain extent. He came up big in regulation, came up big in the shootout.
Someone finally figured out Ryan Clough's shootout move.
Yeah, so he basically didn't bite on anything and just immediately went to the backhand and snared it in the shootout. So that was pretty much that.
That's what happens when you scout an actual player, I guess.
Or that's what happens when you try the same move 8 times in a row.
Well, we've seen it work 8 times in a row.
Seven now.
Listen, I've been saying for a long time now, when is someone going to finally just take that away from him? It's going to force him to shoot the puck,
yeah,
you know, instead of just going to the backhand. But yeah, Tim Thomas show for sure, dude.
But the rest of the games were all Sharks wins in regulation. That's we talked after the Phoenix game. So it was a convincing win over Edmonton on Saturday. But of course, the story of the week are the two blowout games, Monday versus Calgary 9-1, and then tonight over the Kings, which is a nice healthy win, 5-1 at the Staples Center. Great win for the Sharks. On a back-to-back night.
Yeah, I've got some in-depth analysis. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
That's all you got?
Listen, someone told me today that they were at the game and they happened to know where we're sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked over at us when it was 8-1. And they said they saw me jumping up and down in the aisles, like cackling.
Yeah.
I said, oh, yeah, that's right. That happened.
That's pretty much what happened.
It was pretty hilarious, actually. I can't remember. It feels like it's been so long since we've been on the right side of something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This 9-1 thumping, dude.
Yeah.
What happened?
I mean, we jumped on them early. The Calgary Flames are in deep trouble. When we faced them, they had lost 7 of 8, now 8 of 9. They just couldn't get their stuff together. Dion Phaneuf, we both noticed, started out the game on the third pairing, playing with Adam Partey as the number 5 defenseman. Clearly, he's a bit in the doghouse, and there's been controversy surrounding Dion Phaneuf this year.
I don't know what you're talking about. He was a -4. He played great.
Yeah, played awesome.
Certainly played better than Craig Conroy and Curtis Glencross, both -5.
Yeah, ouch. Ouch. Ooh. That's almost all the even strength goals, because the Sharks did score 2 power play goals. So yeah, it's nasty. So Dion Phaneuf eventually was playing with Robin Regier there for a while, but it's just Calgary is a shambles right now. They couldn't, their defense looked completely discombobulated. The Sharks were dominating in the zone, scored. And the great thing, my favorite thing about the game, despite the fact that we won by 8, which, you know, is awesome, and I believe it's the greatest margin of a Sharks victory in history. I think they've done it 3 other times. They put the stat up on the game tonight. But the fact that they scored 3 goals in each period was my personal favorite factoid of the night. The Sharks did not let up. It's not like they scored 6 in the... You know, remember when they played Calgary last year and they scored 6 in the first 25 minutes of the game? It was 5-0 after 1, and then they scored another goal like in the opening minute of the second. And then they sort of coasted back and just let it play, and it ended 6-2 or something. I mean, it wasn't close. But on Monday night, 6-0, not good enough.
Yeah.
7-0, not good enough.
The chance if we want 10 were raining down from the rafters in the tank, and I think that the Sharks felt the same way. They had the killer instinct, and dude, they had it again tonight, I thought, against LA. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They scored a second period goal. They scored a third period goal, both on the power play. They played hard the entire game. They didn't let up. But going back to the Calgary game, there are so many good things that have happened in the last two games, right. Notably. First is the emergence of the secondary scoring. Dude.
Yes.
We've been begging for it. Seto shaves his head. Mm-hmm. I don't know. No, if this is going to be a new trend, you know, somewhere in Ottawa, I'm sure Chichu is looking for a Flobee.
Yeah. Or a suck cut, as they called it in Wayne's World.
But Seto and Klo and Malhotra, we've talked about it before. Is Malhotra really the unsung MVP of the bottom nine forwards here?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt. That guy can play in every situation. And I can't remember a time when he's had a bad game, and we talk about all of those guys. We see Ortmeier disappear, although we both like Ortmeier. We've seen Scott Nickel sort of not do what he's supposed to do. Lord knows we've seen Klo disappear and Seto disappear and Mitchell not really get on the board for a while. But it's like Malhotra always seems to be solid, and this is really sort of the anchor of the Sharks to a large extent. He takes faceoffs. He's killing it in the faceoffs. I don't know if he technically qualifies to be ranked in faceoffs, but if he did, he'd be number one in the NHL.
Malhotra? So,
yes.
Well, he is number one.
So he does.
Nickel's number three.
So he finally does qualify, because for a while he hadn't taken enough faceoffs.
I think he missed a certain number of games. But you talk about Jed Ortmeier. I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, he must be buying Manny Malhotra steak dinners mm-hmm. every night.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I know they're not on the same line right now, but, you know, where Malhotra goes, it seems like Ortmeier goes, because mm-hmm. Ortmeier went pointless the entire month of December, which is basically when Malhotra was out.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's back, you know, with Malhotra in the lineup, Ortmeier's got 11 points. Without him, he's got one. So that's a telling story to see, you know, how the chain reaction down the bottom nine is really contingent on Manny Malhotra and his success. And he's been really, really good the last two games. Really
and
good.
Completely underpaid, I might add.
Well,
I mean, this is a guy that's only making $750,000, which to you and me is, you know, it's time to move to Vegas and bet on college hoops the rest of our lives. But, you know, for Manny Malhotra is severely under market value for him.
Sure. But we both think that there's a little nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say mm-hmm. no more going on here with him and Doug Wilson. And I think that Manny Malhotra, he turned down reportedly, you know, 4 years, $8 million mm-hmm. from the Thrashers.
That's right.
And wanted to come here and play in San Jose. I think they're going to take care of him in the offseason, give him a nice deal that at least matches that.
Yeah, you know? I really hope so.
Which just adds to the Sharks' salary cap woes for next mm-hmm. season.
Mm-hmm.
But we're focused in the here and now. Dude.
That's what we are. Yes.
Scott Nickel, player of the game last night.
Yeah.
First star last night.
3 points.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Plus four, 3 points. Jay Leach. Let's talk a little bit about Jay Leach.
Yeah, man. Jay Leach is really sort of getting the hang of things, because I certainly remember his first couple of games in a Sharks uni. He was not rushing the puck at all. He was making very safe plays. Even if there was some open ice, he wouldn't necessarily skate into it. He would just sort of chip the puck into it and retreat. Well, Jay Leach has obviously been encouraged by the coaching staff to play the style that they're selling. And he's playing it. I mean, he rushed the puck up ice, you know, on the right wing tonight. He almost scored.
He almost scored. He built the wall and everything at the end of the game.
I know. It's like, so Jay Leach, I mean, not to sort of bring a downer to an individual Sharks player, but can someone tell me how Jay Leach is that much worse than Ken Huskins right now? Not that I'm really that down on Ken Huskins, but what does he have that Jay Leach doesn't have?
Well, I think Ken Huskins is probably a little bit more mobile, but
Jay Leach is a pretty good skater. He surprised me.
I want to get a clip of that sound bite and play it back for you in a month.
Okay.
When Jay Leach isn't playing anymore.
All right.
I hope that he's able to keep it going, dude. But, you know, this guy has been, you know, had a prolonged pot of coffee now instead of a cup, I guess, in the NHL. And for him to be playing serviceably as a number six defenseman on, you know, one of the best teams in the NHL is great. And I hope that he can keep it up. And he certainly will help the team with his low salary
mm-hmm.
for this year if he's able to keep it up. So let's ride the wave of Jay Leach. Let's ride the wave.
That's right.
And yeah, these are good signs, dude. And I think if the Sharks can play like this in May,
yeah,
they got a shot, dude.
That's right.
They got a shot. I mean, these were the really two of the best games of the year.
No question.
No question. And even if they had only won them 4-2 or something, mm-hmm. I still would feel like their effort and their all-around play and the way that these guys are coming together here. I loved the fighting spirit from some of these guys like Seto.
Mitchell.
Mitchell got in a fight.
He's willing to fight at the end of an 8-1 or 9-1 game. He's willing to drop with Rene Bork, you know, first NHL fight. I mean, this is the kind of...
He was in there tonight with Evenens.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Dan Boyle was going to drop it tonight. Seto fought in the... which game was that?
Edmonton?
In the Edmonton game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So...
Yeah, it's
in the water right now. I mean, mm-hmm. the guys are... And this is something that we haven't seen. You know, we didn't see this last year.
Mm-mm.
Where guys like this were out there and getting in the middle of it. You know, they
We never saw Thomas Pleahall willing to bang with anybody or Gotch or whatever. You know, it's not that those guys are awful, but okay, they were awful. Sorry.
It's taken a little time, but I think that we're seeing this team's coming together, dude.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that it can hold. Now, Calgary, what's your long-term prognosis for this mess?
They're in trouble.
You think so?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, the Sharks were in trouble if you reboot about 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Sharks were looking pretty grim, too. Are you pronouncing Calgary dead or just on life support?
No, I just think they're in trouble. I have the same...
Critical?
I have the same criticism of them now as I do at the beginning of the year, is that they're not able to count on Olli Jokinen. He's not scoring enough to carry that team. If they want all of their offense to come from Jerome Iginla, they're in big, big trouble. And the fact that Dion Phaneuf has struggled and some of their Ds struggled a little bit, you know, Jay Bilmeister didn't make the Canadian Olympic team. That's obvious because he didn't play as well as maybe they had hoped this year. If they're, you know, if they don't add an offensive piece, they have no shot at going deep, in my opinion. And that hasn't changed. And if their defense starts struggling, which it obviously is since they coughed up 9 to the Sharks, then they're in real deep trouble. I think that will, of course, rebound because they have just too much good D on that team to not sort of get it together. But I still think see them as a low seed in the playoffs and possibly losing in the first round, and if not that, the second.
Olli Jokinen had his worst year in 7 years. Last year,
mm-hmm.
with 57 points.
Right.
This year, he's got 32 points in 50 games. So he's well on par to go under. I mean, he might not make it to 50 points.
Yeah.
You know, so for a guy who they're counting on to be their top center, they've got a lot of problems. Now, I think they've got a pretty valuable trade chip still in Dion Phaneuf. I think that they might be able to turn him into a pretty good player.
Oh, a great player.
But the question is, in Calgary, is Daryl Sutter going to try and play for now, or is he going to try and play for later?
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on how optimistic he is about their chances. And if he thinks that this sort of big hullabaloo about Phaneuf can be blown over if they start winning a few games, or maybe they've already patched it up, you know, between him and Brent Sutter, who knows?
You got to think, if you're Calgary, that the Northwest is sort of available for the taking. Colorado's still leading the Northwest with 62 points.
Yeah.
Vancouver and Calgary right now tied as of tonight with 58. Minnesota a distant 51. So, you know, they're definitely still in the mix. You know, they're a 4-game win streak being back on top. But I think you're right. Until they add some more scoring, they're just not going to be able to pull it out. And, yeah, you know,
they can't be considered a serious threat at the moment, don't think.
I don't think so either.
Anyway, dude, we have an email again from Andy Clark, who is setting us straight on some of the questions we had from Andy. He emailed us. He's a fan in England, of all places, which is awesome. A Sharks fan in the UK. That takes a lot of dedication to see these games.
Hello, Andy. Sorry.
He's going to be talking about that in a minute. So he's just want to clear up our confusion for those that listened last week. I'm sure you'll get this. For those that didn't, skip ahead 30 seconds and we'll get back to you. Number one, it's Marmite in England and Vegemite in Australia, just like I said. I believe I had that one.
Congrats.
Number two, Terrence is from Toronto and Philip is from Montreal. Good South Park esoterica there.
Shut your face.
All three countries may be part of the Commonwealth, but England would like to disown any remote connection to Celine Dion.
Ooh.
As well as the rest of the English and, I'm sure, French-speaking world.
We've offended someone, I'm sure.
I hope so. And our British accents do suck, although he laughed. So, yes.
Thanks, Governor.
Terrible. It's not getting any better, dude. Oh man. Okay, so he does have
yours
a question.
Was worse.
Oh yeah, but mine was in good fun. I wasn't even trying.
You think that I'm trying?
Yes, I do.
Damn it.
And I was right. Okay, he does have a question though.
Okay.
And he says, I gather Mike is an A's fan and Doug is a Giants fan. Does this allegiance extend to Raiders 49ers football, and does it ever get in the way of your friendship? That's an interesting question. I ask is that I found out the Niners are coming over for tea with the Queen in a game with the Broncos this October, so as a Niners and Giants man, I'm quite excited. Although, not quite as excited as if the Sharks finally make it over to Europe. So, Andy, I wonder if you'd fly to Sweden and see the Sharks if they end up going to Sweden, because I've heard that rumor, or was it the Czech Republic this year? I can't remember which one it was. But
it was Sweden, and, you know, we've heard that rumor for the last couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. I think the Sharks are pretty squarely against it, actually, from a management standpoint, but we'll see if that goes through. Well, to answer your question, Andy, I do like other sports, and Mike does not.
That's pretty much wraps it up. I mean, I was an A's fan back in the day, largely because I was, you know, fans of, you know, McGuire when he first came into the league. You know, I definitely remember his rookie season in 1987. Hope that doesn't age me too much. Could I name the entire, I was thinking if I could name the entire lineup of the World Series winning team Giants, I might add, dude.
Dude,
yeah, I think they swept.
See, now, Andy, now we're getting into the salty part here. Now we're getting. If Mike actually still cared about baseball, yeah, I'd start to get a little more irritated than I actually am.
Carney Lansford,
dude.
Mike Gallego. Dave Stewart on the mound.
We just lost 5 listeners.
Ricky Henderson,
10 listeners.
Dave Henderson,
nice.
Dave Parker,
okay.
And we had McGuire at first. Oh, we had Canseco as well. How did Canseco fit in?
DH.
I think so. I can't remember the second baseman at the moment. And who was behind the plate? I have the name on the tip of my tongue.
I know who it is.
Who is it?
Terry Steinbach.
Terry Steinbach. Nice, dude. Yeah. All right, so.
Wasn't second base Mike Gallego?
Then who was short?
Shortstop was, think of it later.
Okay, well, this is a hockey podcast. Let's get over it.
But. So, Andy, to answer your question, yeah, I'm a big Giants fan. I'm wondering how you're a Giants fan, actually. Did you used to live in the Bay Area? Give us a scoop. Big Niners fan, and I hope you represent when the Niners and Broncos come to town.
And I was Niners back in the day. Still follow the Niners very casually. I like to see them win. I probably wouldn't jump on the bandwagon if they started winning a ton of games.
Walt Weiss,
dude.
Thank you. I didn't even look it up.
Nice. That's awesome, Walt Weiss.
There you go.
So good.
We're now an official Sharks, A's, 1989 A's and Giants podcast.
Not nearly as good as Jose Uribe. Anyway, so thanks for the question, Andy. We appreciate hearing from you listeners. Again, that email is questions@dudesonhockey.com. You can ask about us, you can make Terrence and Phillip comments, or you can actually send in a real question about the Sharks. Doesn't matter.
Can you imagine what that conversation on the airplane must have been like last night between Daryl Sutter and Ron Sutter?
Oh God, no.
Do you think that?
You mean Brent Sutter?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
There's so many Sutters.
Can you imagine if they were sitting next to each other and, you know, Ron Sutter turns to Daryl and says,
"You mean Brent Sutter?"
Okay. Brian Sutter.
Yeah. Whatever.
Turns to Ron Sutter and says.
Daryl, they're going to be a little trying down from there.
Are we reenacting Sling Blade? What are we doing here?
Dude, you're Daryl Sutter.
I'm Daryl. Yeah, I'm Daryl Sutter. And yeah, I guess we, you know, you guys just suck. Learn how to coach.
And are you talking to me or Brian or Ron?
I'm talking to Dwayne. He's the fifth setter.
Listen. I'm going to go to dinner.
Like them French fried potatoes. Mm-hmm.
Dude, what are we doing?
I have no idea what we're doing. You know, this bit will live in infamy.
Yeah, this started out so well, too. We started on such a high note.
Sure did, dude. Sure did. Dude, did you watch any of the AHL All-Star game today?
I did not. I saw it was on, and actually, wasn't there like a CHL Prospects game as well? I missed both of them because I was at work.
I didn't catch that. I actually did not catch the AHL game either. I didn't tape it or... Mm-hmm. I guess DVR it. Who tapes things anymore?
Nobody.
Actually, nobody. I guess I shouldn't even refer to it as such. Guess who scored a very pivotal goal in the game tonight?
Logan Couture?
Logan Couture.
Nice.
The Canadian team was losing, and they came back, unfortunately, on Alex Stalock in net.
Oh.
He coughed up 4 fourth period goals, and Logan Couture was involved in 2 of them.
Yeah.
Yep. So... good news, bad news.
Yeah.
Good news is Couture. I got a kick out of when you went on Comcast and you click on it to see the information on the game. It said AHL All-Star Game featuring Nathan Gerb and Logan Couture.
Nice.
Getting headline billing on Comcast, so thank you very much. You might want to check that out. It's good to see Logan Couture getting a little bit of love. I'm going to ask you right now on the spot, will Couture be on the Sharks roster playing a pivotal role this season?
No, I still don't believe so for 2 reasons. First reason we've talked about before is salary. He's an early first round draft pick, which means he makes a lot of money. Sharks, as we've talked about, almost till we're blue in the face, do not have a lot of salary cap room, so he's making too much money. 2, why mess with a good thing, man? It ain't broke. The guy needs experience. He needs minutes. He's obviously building confidence in the pro game. Let him score. Let him kick ass.
Yeah.
In the AHL. And then bring him into camp and say, you know, we have a job basically carved out for you. It's your job now in the next 2 weeks to take it.
Right.
You know, from all these other guys that are going to be hungry. Ben Ferriero, I'm sure, will want that job. You know, he's going to want to stay up all year and, you know, fight it out. See what's what. You know, that's a, you know, that's going to be really fun to watch Logan Couture mature.
Oh.
Oh, button didn't work.
Sound effects, negatory.
Oh, well, what do you...
Well, dude, you know, I hope that Logan Couture will be maturing sometime soon.
All right, dude, I have trivia.
Okay.
This might be another bit that totally dies.
Okay, I'm ready.
But this is something that we're both going to be able to do.
Oh, God.
It's not bad. It's really not bad. We're going to enjoy this. What we're going to do is we're going to go back and forth. You know, I like this style of trivia where we have to, you know, it's a question that has more than one answer. And we have to go back and forth until someone either says something that somebody already said or that's wrong.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay.
So you kind of have to remember what the other guy said.
Okay.
You'll be fine at this. All you have to do, and you take your hands off your computer over there.
Okay.
Good try. Name the players who have played for the Worcester Sharks this year.
You mean guys who've come up?
No. Anybody that's played for the Worcester Sharks this year is fair game. I will start. Jason Demers.
Logan Couture.
Nick Petrecki.
Frazier McLaren.
Alex Stalock.
Steven Zaleski.
TJ Trevelyan.
Ooh, that's who I was going to say. Dennis McCauley.
Ooh, I see. I never would have gotten that one. How about Michael Wilson?
That's good. Danny Gruhl.
I don't think anybody said Ben Ferriero yet.
That's true. Jamie McGinn.
Okay, now we're talking John McCarthy.
Ooh, Ryan Vesey.
Now we have to go with Tyson Sexsmith, who has played this year.
Brandon Mashinter.
Ooh, see, now we're getting down to brass tacks. Derek Jocelyn.
Dwight Heilmanen.
Ooh, man, this is now the stakes are getting higher. Ooh. Dean Strong.
Joe Callahan.
Oh, dude, you're ready. Yeah, I'm running out here. I'm getting... how about... Oh no. I'm getting down to brass tacks here. Oh no, dude.
5 4
Oh no, it'll lose.
3
Oh no.
2 Mike Moore. Mitch Versteeg.
Dude,
I can't believe I won that.
You got any more? Mitch Versteeg.
Yeah,
Mike
you know
Moore.
What? I'm forgetting somebody. Oh, I've got many more. Andrew Desjardins.
Yes.
Dan DeSilva.
Yeah. See, now that the pressure's off, I might get some.
Thomas Pleahall. No.
I think that was successful.
That was a good game.
That was fun.
That was good.
We could do that with other things.
All right. Name guys who have played for the Stockton Thunder. I'm just
Jason DeMaria. Oh, wait. No, he never actually played.
What do you think about these matchups coming up this week, dude?
Yeah, we got Ducks, and the actual interesting matchup of the week is definitely Buffalo on Saturday.
I think the Ducks matchup's pretty darn interesting. Actually, they've won 7 out of 8. Talk about the anti Flames.
Yeah.
A lot of their success, I read an article in the Orange County Register about how they're crediting it to 3 of their very young players, Bodie, Sexton, and Beleski, I think is how you say his name, to providing some energy, things that they've really been severely lacking. Don't look now, dude. The Ducks are 4 points out of the playoffs.
That's right.
Sniffing on the Kings' heels. Are we getting a little nervous?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. Although they're not, obviously they're not quite as scary as they were last year. No, with no Pronger, no third line. That was really a big part of their identity.
A pretty lousy third pairing, actually. Yeah. If you're running out Steve Eminger, that's pretty weak. I'm not afraid of them like I was last year, but I certainly don't like seeing them kind of gaining some momentum here.
Yeah, and with Hiller playing so well against the Sharks in the playoffs last year, you don't want to see him get hot either. So, yeah, you're right. And what about Buffalo then? I mean, Buffalo has been maybe the biggest untold story in the NHL this year. I mean, can I go that far, or am I getting into hyperbole here?
No, I think you can go that far, and I think it's been, frankly, surprising. You know, I didn't think Buffalo
was
going to
make the playoffs.
I didn't think they'd make the playoffs either. I think that they are riding the coattails of the likely Vezina Trophy winner,
yes,
you know, in Ryan Miller.
Yes.
And he's playing outrageously great hockey. They have one of the best goals allowed in the league at 2.18. Great goaltending for Miller. They've got a great PK, 86.6%. Just right behind us and Boston. But this is why we're going to beat them. Mm-hmm. They're one of the worst teams in the faceoffs. They're 48.3%. Mm-hmm. I think that we're just going to control the puck. If they don't have the puck and the way we're going right now, I just think Buffalo is going to run into the Sharks team that's too hot.
Right.
Too hot to handle.
We also should mention they might have the leading Calder candidate trophy right now in Tyler Myers, the towering 6'7 rookie defenseman for them. And with all the spotlight on Victor Hedman, I think a lot of people forgot about Tyler Myers, and he's really surprised a lot of people. So,
and he's playing great. 27 points in 47 games.
That's amazing.
A plus 12.
That's great.
He's getting regular power play time. I mean, this guy, when he got drafted, I kind of laughed at him when I saw him walking up to the podium and he looked like Ichabod Crane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was like, where's the headless horseman?
Exactly.
But, you know, he's playing like a man. I've seen him on TV. I wish that I could see him in person. Unfortunately, neither of us are going to be at that game on Saturday.
That's unfortunate.
That's a tough one to miss. I want to see Mike Greer's homecoming. You know, he's having
a decent year.
I guess.
Yeah.
He's got 9 goals.
Yeah. Yeah, 15 points, not bad.
You know, 71 shots, 61 of them from the off angle.
I'm sure. You know, they got a lot of balanced scoring. Can you name, without looking, can you say how many goals their top scorer in goals has right now?
Gosh, I know it wasn't a lot. I think it's not even 20. I think it's like 18.
It's 13.
Wow.
Yeah. They have 7 guys over 10 goals, but none over 13. So that's some balanced scoring, but certainly no one has really pulled a Danny Heatley or Patrick Marleau here. Patrick Marleau again leading the league in goals, by the way. Jeez.
He's an animal. He's an animal. He totally used both those guys on the second goal he scored tonight.
Yeah, the second goal was nice.
Yeah, really nice. And I think the Sharks are going to play a good game with Anaheim, a good spirited game. I think we're going to roll over Buffalo, dude. And when I say, I don't think it's going to be as crazy as it was tonight, but I think we're going to beat them like 3-0. Mm-hmm. Like a real solid win. The last time Buffalo was here, they beat the Sharks like 7-1 or something.
Was that the last time they were here? Yeah.
Some of the guys who are around from that probably are going to be bringing that up. I'm sure they won't forget that. And hopefully they'll put the hurt on Buffalo. I think this is a great opportunity for the Sharks to continue to build on the great things they've done the last 2 nights. Great play from the supporting cast to where, you know, the top players. I mean, Joe only played 17 minutes tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great.
Yeah,
I mean,
really good.
We need them to be able to take a back seat a little bit, especially going into the Olympic break where those guys are going to be playing every night.
That's right.
Playing, you know, the whole tournament. It'd be nice to see the Sharks continue to roll and look ahead possibly to a huge game in a week and a half against the Blackhawks.
That's right. Another game, and the Sharks, again, are winning games against playoff teams. And this is something they seem to have some trouble with earlier in the season. But now they've won a pretty decent string here. You know, Edmonton, you know, Calgary, obviously they were in trouble, but we beat them. We've had a nice little run against the Kings and the Coyotes, which is good divisional matchups, you know.
Sharks have been getting points against good teams.
Yeah.
And that's what they really struggled to do earlier in the season, but they're making it happen now. And all signs point to things clicking. Dude, let me ask you one last thing before we sign out. If you're the Blackhawks, would you trade for Stieg and Barker for 6 weeks or potentially 2 months of Kovalchuk?
I think given their current situation, that might not be a bad deal for them.
Because then they'd be getting rid of that salary in the long term.
You know what? You know what's really sad is I spent a good part of my day after I got home from work reading up on the tagging rule and how the Chicago Blackhawks were able to re-sign those three guys, because there's a rule in the CBA that says you can't even be over the cap next year. And right now they got like $60 million of players for next year because they re-signed those guys. So I was trying to figure out how that's possible, and I was trying to figure out all the minutiae of this tagging rule. And one of the things they may have had to do, and I think that's the reason they waived Andrew Ebbett, is because they needed to get a little bit of room to be able to sign those other players, which is weird. You remember the Ducks had to do that when they brought Scott Niedermayer back off of suspension. They had to trade Andy McDonald not because they needed salary cap room that year. They needed salary cap room the next year. And so it was something I was looking into because I thought the Sharks might, you know, be somewhat, you know, I wanted to see where the Sharks were at, and I thought of the Blackhawks. And trading Versteeg and Barker or making some sort of trade for 6 weeks of Kovalchuk would really release a lot of that pressure they have on trying to find a way under the salary cap next
year. I mean, we heard 2 years ago during the UFA season that the other team that was seriously bidding on Brian Campbell was the Atlanta Thrashers, so we know there's interest there. I mean, you would think the Blackhawks would make that deal in a second.
Oh, yeah. So, but no one's going to take Brian Campbell's deal at this point.
Don Waddell might. He might. If he thinks he's going to get... What is he going to get that's
with
better?
With Ron Hainsey on the blue line?
What's he going to get that's better than a guy who can score 60 points and play your top two defense spot? I mean, you know, if Kovalchuk's just going to run to Russia...
And he can do magic and play in Vegas. He looks just like Carrot Top.
He sure could. I would sit in the front row.
You have.
I have, and so have you.
I agree.
Not by choice.
I've done it.
Good show, dude. Good show.
Good show.
Hey,
okay.
Hey, quick shout out to Carson.
Yeah. Nice to meet you, Carson. We met him at the last game. It was nice to... We finally found you in the crowd, so that was cool. Met Carson and his dad. It was nice.
We were feeling so friendly. We actually started talking instead of high-fiving with our neighbors.
Yes.
And we gave them a card. I hope maybe they checked us out. That's Carl.
And Shauna, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Carl and Shauna. So hopefully you're checking out the podcast this week for the first time, and...
Maybe they'll share the nachos next
time. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we're always impressed with your nachos. Maybe we'll just reach over and take a little taste.
Yeah, I think that's, you know...
That's bad.
Yeah, it's going, you got to know boundaries with cool. your people around you.
I'd be willing to share my plain pretzel.
Great, dude. Sounds tasty. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back again next week, same time, same place. The email address is questions@dudesonhockey.com, and we'll talk to you then.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions@dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.